time talking with you guys. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together here at the conference in Antioch and just the thought behind it. Father, thank you for giving us a purpose and direction. God, I know sometimes, you know, we think of that and we wonder, you know, what it is that you want us to do, or why is it that you want us to do the things that you feel like, that we feel that you're calling us to do, God. And simply to trust in you and to have faith in knowing that you are the wisest. You're the one with the grand master plan that knows the beginning, the present, and the future. Father, if we trust in you, great things can happen, God. And for everybody who is in here, I hope they understand how valuable their role is in the kingdom and how precious you've made them. Help them never to forget that. Thank you for your love, and thank you for the years that you've guided Ashley and I in the ministry that we serve in. Father, we pray this in your son's name. Amen. So just for starters, so as you hear me or you see me talking into this mic, you might not hear me any better, but there's a reason behind it, so they can do the recordings. Ashley will be doing the same. And it's great to see everybody in here. It's a lot more people than what I anticipated, which is awesome because it gives me the inclination that you have like a desire in your mind or in your heart as to why youth ministry and why is there a focus on that, you know. And for Ashley and I, the years that we've worked in the youth ministry has been great. But at the beginning, there were always those questions. And honestly, periodically throughout that time that we worked in the youth ministry, there's always been that question as to like, well, why the youth ministry? What's the value in it? What's the importance in it? Why does God give us like a commission or a call to be able to serve in that ministry? So, you know, for Ashley will share kind of her, you know, her story or whatnot. Most of you guys know me in here, and I've been a part of the youth ministry and served for probably 20 years. Or maybe just a smidge more. I've been a disciple of God for about 21, 22 years since I've made that commitment, if I'm doing my math right. And when I first decided to become a disciple of Christ, the desire that I had to serve was not necessarily directed towards youth ministry, but it was directed towards anywhere that there was a need. And it just so happened that as I devoted my life to Christ, and I found myself in the next few months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, being called on the church plant, which brought us over here. Well, when that call came, I answered, and I wanted to serve at whatever capacity I needed to serve in. One of those roles was the youth ministry. And I did not know what that meant. You know, I grew up unchurched. Not going to any kind of religious organization, not a thought. I never even opened up the Bible. Never opened up the Bible until I was 18. And Carrie and Juan studied the Bible with me. That's the first time I opened that thing up. But it was the pivotal point of when I decided that this is what I was going to do. This is what I was going to devote my life to. And as we went out on the church plant, the youth ministry was the direction that I was called, and I was also asked to serve in. And man, what a blessing that has been in my life. So that's kind of real quick, just kind of how the youth ministry, me jumping into the youth ministry started. I wasn't exactly sure what I was getting myself into, but man, my heart was willing and ready to jump in. And here we are, 22 decades later.
Decades?
20. I was going to say 20 years, yeah, but then decades. I said two decades later.
I was like, that's math ain't mathin'. Okay, so I think just, you know, as I look out in this room, there's a vast amount of different ages and faces, you know, and all the things. One thing that I want to point out is if you're in high school in this lesson, what I would like to see you guys kind of take from this, because in some ways it is geared towards people who are maybe thinking of youth ministry, you know, or currently in it and maybe need some direction. But what I want you to take from it on a high school level, I think, is just what maybe like your role is intended to be. You know, the ownership within that and all those different types of things. And then maybe one day, you know, God will call you back around to being a youth leader yourself. If you're in a different season and you're currently doing youth ministry, you're thinking about it, I hope you get some direction, you know, from us in that area. As far as just why youth ministry, I think just for me specifically, I grew up, you know, different than RJ. I grew up in church, and as far back as I can remember, the Bible was open, like all the time in my house, you know, every day. And I remember being a young girl, growing up in the church and feeling very safe, you know, very innocent in my faith and joyful. And there was a, believe it or not, a natural and sweetness about me as a young girl. And then as I got older and I got, you know, went through what, you know, I think honestly the church hurt, just hurt of the world in general, brokenness and, you know, in the world, as I got older and I came into my years in the teen ministry, I found that sweet, innocent, faithful, I love God girl fade out a lot. I was watching the Young David snippets. I don't know if any of you guys have watched any of those. They're on Angel Studios. I highly recommend them. They're like 5-minute, you know, little shorts or whatever. But one thing that I sat there and I watched it and I just wanted to cry, because here you have this picture of young David in the Bible and he's so excited about God, you know, and he loves him and he's his best friend. And I watched him and I kind of mourned it, because I went, man, I remember feeling like him. And you watch David, and if you know the story of David, you know what he's going to come into also. And there's a sadness and a heaviness, you know. But also, there's an excitement at what he becomes in other ways. So I say that to say, my teen years had some really great things. I was a part of a youth ministry that grew, and we were very, I think, effective in our community. I had friends who needed God desperately, that I loved very, and I love to this day very deeply. And I did have a heart for them. But I was jaded and I got very depressed and I stuffed it all down. And my sophomore year, I drove out to a cliff, in Alton, and I guess technically it was Godfrey. And I heavily considered just driving off the edge of it. And I remember sitting there that night, you know, at 16 and going like, what is happening? And so, you know, I think God used a lot, and we're going to get through that, but he used youth ministers who loved me and people who loved me to pull me out of that darkness and that depth when I was a teenager. So whenever I kind of started to come out of that, you know, church plant talks were being had, and I thought, you know, like I was in the campus ministry at the time, and I loved, shout out to the campus ministry. Campus ministry was some of the best years of my life. I loved campus ministry. And I say that to make the point of, while I loved where I was at, I did feel a pull to do something else. So when church plants got, you know, talking, I was like, let's do the youth ministry. Because I really thought if I could somehow help, you know, another girl or guy not feel the way I felt, like maybe it would have been worth it. So that's why I'm here. So anyway, in the first track, like I said, we're presented with this question, why youth ministry? Well, that's a loaded question. I feel like I just displayed that, because there are, in fact, you know, so many answers to that question. And I was thinking of like the scene in Mean Girls where it's like, the limit does not exist. The limit does not exist. Why youth ministry? So we do want to do our best to kind of bring some reasoning behind that, the importance of youth ministry within the body and within the kingdom and within this world.
So that's kind of like why we jumped into what we're doing and how God has blessed us in our life. But there's also things that you look at in Scripture that kind of verifies and solidifies the fact that God views the youth very special. So one of the reasons why I think youth ministry and why teen ministry is important just in our churches is, like I said, that God has a soft spot for young people. You see that time and time again in several situations and places throughout Scripture. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, it says this: Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth. For to all whom I send, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And you read that passage of Scripture, and you hear God immediately try to squash your insecurities as a young person, to try to get you to understand how valuable you are as a young person. So what does that tell you? What does that passage mean? I think what God is trying to speak into your minds and into your hearts, whether or not you are an adult in here, a young adult or a young person in here, that young people matter to the Lord. You see it time and time again throughout Scripture. You see that as you move through Scripture with Timothy, constantly trying to encourage Timothy and let him know that you have the ability as a young person to be able to lead the churches. And that's exactly what Timothy did at a very young age, a very younger than some of you in here. leading people as old and fragile as me. Can you imagine, honestly, can you imagine you guys trying to do that? You know the kind of fear that comes with that. Not because I'm great and grand. That's far from what the case is. But God is encouraging you as young people to know your value. You see that in David. You see it in Esther, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, all these young people that's being called from God to serve in a place and to live out a faith that impacts the world around them. And it's important that we don't let anyone look down on us simply because of our age or because of our youth. I know that growing up in the industry where I work, it was always hard for me being a younger person in a leadership role because sometimes the older generation or the older people just didn't want to listen. But I tried to have the characteristics of Christ so that I could gain credibility, so that I could gain credibility within their ear. And that's really what God is trying to challenge everybody in here is, why is teen ministry so important? Is because you guys have the ability, and the teen ministry has the ability to set the stage for the future. So God has a soft spot for the youth.
Also, I think another point when it comes down to just looking at why youth ministry is the world is messy and they need God and they need us, teenagers specifically. You know, I think you look around, you guys, I mean, a lot of you guys are in high school, right? Raise your hand. You know, when you look around your school, you probably see a lot of dysfunction, right? In different ways. That's the world in general. But it is hitting our youth. The culture is impressing and attacking our youth at a very, very young age and very, very aggressively. And while it's true, you know, you can look back and we can see examples of like Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not a big like, oh, this is the worst generation ever and it's the worst the world has ever been. Well, God like flooded an earth one time because it was so bad. So I'm not necessarily in line with that. But after doing youth ministry for, you know, 20-some years, I will say that it has began to change the way that the U.S. culture, America, honestly, is shifting, forming, and changing the way that young people think, where their identity comes from, all the different things. We're seeing more young people have to go in and out of rehabs at younger age for drug abuse. We're seeing a high medicated generation of kids. And don't get me wrong, I want to be very clear about this. There are times for medication, you know what I'm saying, under doctors, and there's needs and chemical things that need to be addressed. But what I'm saying is there's so much, it's being thrown out like candy, and I believe in large part because we don't know how to treat and help young people form their hearts and their minds at very crucial ages. And so by the time they hit teenage years, adult years, they're out of control. They can't deal with anything. We have high levels of anxiety and all type depression. I think just in general, there is a sadness and a heaviness that if you walk around and you see, if you open your eyes to, you're going to see pretty fast. The world is messy and they need God. You know, I think I asked my question, like, why does Satan, like, he's targeting teenagers, right? He targets everybody, you know, to be real. But he targets youth. And I say this often, actually, to my son Malachi here, you know, I'm like, because, you know, sometimes he's like, why does it have to be so hard? You know, like, why? I could just fit and it could just be easy, you know, and I get that. I remember feeling that way. And I've told you many different times, Malachi, you have so much good that God has filled you with because God, he doesn't create the messy. You know, Satan does that part. You have so much good and so many things deep inside of you that Satan's got to go, hey, before that kid gets it and before his brain matures fully and before he becomes a threat, you know, to me and to my goal of demolishing this world and separating them from God, I'm going to stop them while they're young. Stop them while they're young the rest of their life. They're not going to do anything. So I'll take them as much as I can. And I have no doubt that's why there's such a hard hit on young people through social media, through everything that you guys are getting your heads and your hands into that you don't need to be because Satan's going, I'm going to stop them right now. Because they are stocked full of potential and ability because a God created them that loved them and wanted them to use it for good. And so it is extremely, extremely important. You know, and I want to go back to that too, just thinking that's not new. His tactics are not new. He's been doing this forever. When, you know, RJ listed, you know, David and Esther and all these different people. Why wouldn't he stop them young? If he could have stopped young David, do you think that God would have risen up someone else? Sure, he could have. But would the story have looked the same? I don't know. would Goliath, would we still have the story of Goliath? Would he have still fallen the same? You know, you specifically hear that in the story of Esther, where it says, if you don't do this, Mordecai talks to Esther and he says, if you don't do this, does anybody know what he says? Surely, God will provide someone else to step in. Does he guarantee it, though? That's speculation on Mordecai's part, because he believes God is good and he's faithful. But it's not a guarantee. And so if Esther hadn't actually done those things in her young age and stood up and done the things that God had called her to in her position, the Jews very well could have all been depleted and died. But at the least, maybe it wouldn't have been all of them, but maybe it would have been one or two too many, because she didn't step up to the plate and do the things that, you know, that she needed to do, because Satan would have attacked her and he would have stopped her at a young age and stopped so many things. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, it says, remember also your creator in the days of your youth. That's a popular scripture. How many of you guys know that? Remember also your creator in the days of your youth. What does it say after that? Before the evil days come and years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Some of you who are adults in here, you know that what that's like, right? You remembered, like what I was talking about at the beginning, in the beginning before it got real, real messy. Don't you wish there was a youth ministry for you that stepped in, or a youth leader for you? And raise your hand if you're a testament to that, where you went, I wish I would have had somebody that would have stepped in and helped me before it got too messy, before I forgot. You know, and so I think those are the things that we got to remember, and that's the significance of why youth ministry.
I think, so why teen ministry is because God has a soft spot for the youth. Secondly, because the world is messy and it's needed. And third, youth ministry helps to create a community and friendship. For those of you kids that are in here that are a part of a youth ministry or have been a part of a youth ministry, think of the community and the friendship that has been built due to that atmosphere, right? For those of you guys who are out of the youth ministry, but you've been a part of one, think of the community and the friendships that were built and harbored because of that atmosphere. You can't tell me that there's not value within that, because you can find friends out there in the world left and right. You can find that, for the most part. You can find that. But the question is they really good and valuable when it comes to the kingdom? Are they the kind of friends that are really beneficial for you? That's why teen ministry is so important. You see lots of congregations throughout the country and throughout the world that don't have that opportunity for the youth. Or maybe they haven't quite developed to that point yet where they have someone who is helping within the youth ministry and the student ministry. And you see kids just kind of wandering around and being a part of a church, but not being a part of a church. Do you know what I mean? So a youth ministry, a teen ministry, helps to be able to create that community and that friendship. And the reason why that's valuable is because of the point that Ashley was just talking about, because the world is extremely messy and dangerous. So there's a statistic floating around out there that for a young person to have five good, positive, godly relationships has such a higher percentage of chance of remaining faithful into their young adult and adult years. If you just have five great, godly, positive relationships around you, the chances of you surviving in your faith and thriving in the kingdom of God increases tremendously. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, it says this, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. My grandma used to tell me all the time, hey, stop hanging around and running with John Hunziker. Stop running around with, why John is my buddy, right? John's my buddy. I mean, we smoke weed all the time together too. And we stole logs of chew from Casey's. We also ran around with girls. We also drank alcohol together. We also skipped classes together. Man, Grandma, what's the problem with John? John's my guy, man. I like having fun with him like that. But she knew what was going on. And I'm willing to bet that Grandma, whenever she was my age, ran around with some people that wasn't that wise either. But every time I read that passage of Scripture, I always think of those relationships that I grew up with when I was in high school. And they were terrible. They were terrible. Like, I see some of the kids that come in and out of the youth ministry, and I know that they're we're reaching them, we're trying to reach them, and I see the situations that they put themselves in. Man, I was that kid, but worse in many aspects. and I ran around with the wrong crowd, thinking that that crowd wasn't going to affect me, but it always, always does. It always does. The word of the Lord is accurate whenever it talks about that. But think on the flip side, if at a young age, with the kids that we have in our churches, and you guys in our youth ministry, think at a young age how much stronger you can be if you build the right kind of community and friendship around you rather than the bad. And I'm not saying good, bad. I'm talking about wise and unwise, just following the scripture. I didn't have that growing up, and I had to battle that even into these years. And my friends now that I grew up with, that I was super close with back then, they don't, I mean, some of them have passed away because of opioid overdoses. You know, my buddy, Blake got hooked on that just by playing basketball and getting injured. And then pretty soon it took his life because he took advantage of it. And he did the wrong things with those drugs. But a lot of my friends, their lives are just sad because life can be so much more with the Lord, but they didn't go down that path.
And I think, I mean, I can speak to the other side of that. You know, I wasn't out like necessarily running amok, right? Like RJ was. But at the same time, like I said at the beginning, like my heart was cold and it was hard. And it took, if it hadn't been for different relationships I had within my youth ministry at that time, the youth leaders had a great role in that. But the community of friendship and you know, peers, my peers, you know, I remember being at like one of my worst moments and frequently, you know, like Marcy Cadill showing up, you know, and putting me in her little, whatever, 1993 Ford Escort hatchback, you know, and we rolled up and got a Humdinger, you know, which is just a 32-ounce soda. We got a soda and a Snicker bar probably, you know, and maybe some Chinese food. But, you know, and then rolled around listening to Tracy Chapman and whoever else, and it was healing for me. Because Marcy was not the same place I was in my heart and my head at that time. She was in a good place, and she reminded me of joy. And she reminded me of why, you know, God brought me into a youth ministry to begin with. And I think, like, you know, just as a side note, you know, some of you church kids in here, you know, you're sitting here probably, if you're anything like me, going, well, yeah, youth ministry gave a lot of good friendships, but it also ripped my freaking heart out. You know, a lot of those Kennedy's up here like, you know, it also, it.
Imagine not having a way out in the world.
Yeah, so that was what I was going to say, actually. He did that. That was a thing. I don't know what else to say, but that's the truth. You know, I'm going, like, we can sit there very, and it's fair to sure. Go, there is hurt. You know, I grew up thinking I have so many good things, I can't talk about that side of it. It's not fair, you know, for me to be ungrateful. You can talk about it, and those things are legitimate hurts, you know, but what RJ is getting at, or what he just got straight to the point on is that for those things that hurt and those friendships within that time in the youth ministry, there was the ones that have stuck it out. And they literally on the front row with you, you know, JJ sitting right next to Kennedy at this current time, you know, and Austin sitting next to Malachi. And I could go down, you know, so there are those people that are not, you're not going to leave your side in those things. And they were created at a young age when you didn't know what life was going to look like. And you felt like there wasn't, you know, much left.
So why youth ministry? Why teen ministry? One, because God has a soft spot for him. Two, the world is messy. Three, youth ministry has an opportunity to build a community and friendships. Fourthly, the reason why teen ministry is important is because you are 100% and they are 100% of the future. You know, I you guys have heard me say that before, but I love saying that sentence that you're, think about that. The kids that are walking around in our churches or in our communities around us or at your schools that you're at, that you're visiting and that you're reaching out to, they are 100% of the future of the kingdom of God. 100% of the future of the disciples that are going to possibly befriend your children as they get older, or be a friend to your spouse as you guys grow older. And by teaching the youth to live out their faith boldly, it helps them impact the world around them with kindness and God's love. So when you think about, man, how do we solve the problems of this world? Well, one, you're not going to solve the problems of this world, but you can offer up an opportunity to have a victory at the end of it. Through a relationship with Christ. But how are you really going to solve this? You've got to make sure that you're investing, and we as churches have to make sure that we're investing in the next generation. Why? Because they are 100% of the future.
Yeah, and I think you guys got to think about that, you know, just, my kids always say I kind of go like dark places because I'm like, I like watching serial killer documentaries and all the things, so they're probably right. But, you know, I'm going to go there. you know, I think like you look at my mom and dad, for example. If you don't know me, my parents are Robert, you know, and Rita. They're aging. You don't realize it because they're very vibrant and they keep on moving and they keep doing all the things the kingdom has called them to, but they're in their mid 60s. Most of the men in my dad's family didn't live past 72. That's a very, very short amount of time. You know, and then next, Carrie ain't that young. He's older than me. Don't let him lie. He's 5 years older than me. You know, but we're getting older. You know, our leadership specifically within this church, we are aging because that's part of it. You know, and I think when we look at this, you guys, we have to go. And every church is the same in that. No one's getting around that. You know, is that as we get older and as we age, like, who is going to think and dream and make dumb jokes from the, you know, podium one day, but love people to the degree that Robert has, you know, and who's going to help heal people's hearts from and be that open and vulnerable about their woundedness and their brokenness? Who's going to step up and be the men who are passionate and on fire, you know, like Carrie? Who's going to step up and be the guy that can be firm and strong but make you feel incredibly loved and secure and safe all the time, like RJ? Who is going to step in to these roles if we are not training and seeing this generation going, you guys have to step up and take on the role of disciples in this kingdom? In the same way that Acts, you know, chapter 2 and this whole thing we're talking about within Antioch, in the same way they took a hold and grabbed a hold of those things and passed them on for generations, and it has in turn blessed every person in this room. And so why youth ministry? Because there's no kingdom without it one day. It will fall because they will die off like most of the churches are, and they're graying out. And as they get older, for me specifically, knowing, you know, Church Christ roots and my family in them, they're graying out, and there are very few to little young people who are really living radically changed discipleship lives, period. And we got to turn the curve on that. That's got to change, even within this body. Because as we get bigger and we become a church that has more people, you know, whatever, you know, like I think Carrie talked about in his lesson today, as we get bigger and we see things growing and things like that, we have to be very, very careful to think that somehow we just got it solved. That we just got this under, you know, in the bag. And it's time that if you're a young person in this room and you're in my youth ministry, in RJ and I's youth ministry, that you start getting your head on straight too with this. And you start going, I have a role. Am I actually owning it and fulfilling it? Because when I died to myself, I said I would. And your job as a youth leader is going to be help fulfill that role and teach them that and guide them in it. Oh, so am I next too? Mm-hmm. Dang. Okay, well, I'm going to fly through this and we're going to, okay. So, and the final thing is because leading teenagers into a relationship with Christ just might be the most fulfilling thing you will ever do. You know, there are good reminders, you know, teenagers are good reminders. When you're working with them, like, you can sit there and look and be like, man, I remember when I thought like that and that was dumb. Or I remember when I thought like that and I was so innocent in that and I had a good time. They can remind you of the joy that you had, you know. They ground you and they remind you for sure where God brought you from. They teach you a lot of patience and they teach you a lot of grace. There's so many different reasons I think that, you know, like youth ministry has brought fulfillment, you know, to RJ and I's life. But I think in spite of the difficulties, the joy of watching a young person's heart get it, it's second to none. You know, I think it's Paul that writes and says, I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in truth. Man, that's my script. That's my scripture. And so with that kind of being the thing, the last thing that we're going to say on this is we're going to pull some of those teens, those old teens up and current teens. And we kind of just want to do a little bit of a Q&A with them and just ask them some questions and let them kind of shed some light on some of this. So if we can get
come
Drew,
on up.
Alyssa,
you know who you are.
Adessa, Austin. I could have picked a bunch, but here we go. Oh, no.
Chamon.
You go on Hattie's side.
Yeah, Alyssa, you're over there.
You guys can stand too if you want.
So, Hattie, you're over here.
Where are you going?
So, guys, as you know, and as we have Hattie and Austin and Alyssa and Drew, we want you guys to just be able to open up and share just some of the things. So we've got some questions for you guys.
Don't answer until we hand you a mic, though, because it won't be recorded.
Okay, so first question that we just want to fire off to you guys is, What is or was some of the hardest parts of being a teenager for you in the culture, in the world that you live in now?
You guys can kind of choose who wants to take that first.
Just hold it and pass it back and forth.
Can you guys see her? Do you need her stand up? Or can you? Yep.
Hello, everyone. I think for me, it was interesting because I became a disciple in high school. So I was, and if you know me, I'm really, really loud about everything that I do or like that I love or I believe. And that was the same when I didn't love Jesus. So like when I was in high school, freshman, sophomore year, I was a big partier and I did all the crazy things and I was loud about drinking and smoking weed and all the things and I was a party girl and like had a lot of fun. So then whenever I started being loud about Jesus, a lot of people that knew me were really, really cruel and they were just like, you know, like they're like, that's not gonna last. And I think it was almost like a test to see like, you know, what they could get me to do, like what, you know, oh, she'll be back if I can just invite her to this party, if I can like whatever. And like to a certain extent, I can kind of see that like even in like other disciples' lives, like if they know what you're about, they're gonna test you, they're gonna push you because they see something different in you. And so I think personally, like that was probably the biggest thing for me is like people seeing that shift and that change and then wanting to see like how they could push me and like if they couldn't, their pride being hurt and like making it their life's mission to like bring me down and wear me down and get me to not stay on what I could do.
Thanks, Melissa.
Right. So I'm not going to stand up.
But you will if they need to hear you, right?
Do you guys need to hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Good job,
Kyle. My kind of crowd.
I just got to.
But for me, probably the, something that was just really hard for me is like just being a teen and like all the culture and stuff was all the like heaviness that I felt with my parents like wanting me to do good in school or me feeling like I have to be like liked by everyone. You know, I felt like I was changing my personality with each group I was surrounded by and it wasn't genuine friendships that I had with these groups of people. And it kind of just made me feel alone while being surrounded by a mass amount of people. And that's because I wasn't genuine with them. And I think being introduced to like the teen ministry and like youth ministry, that I felt like I could finally just be myself because they had like unconditional love for me. And but yeah, that the unconditional love for me kind of just made it to where I felt like I didn't have to hold up like this facade of myself and being able just to hold the personality that I was born with and God that wanted me to have to be able to reach other people and just be able to take it to heart and not feel alone. But that was the main struggle.
Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Austin. You going back and forth here?
That's fine. I'm trying to come over here. So I think for me, the hardest thing about growing up in my culture, if you guys don't know my story, I grew up in an abusive, drug addicted home.
All right. Got it.
And so oftentimes I felt like I didn't really have anybody and that you know, my own parents are supposed to love me the most, like they're not giving me like, you know, what I needed. And I felt like, you know, as a teenager, like at that age you're really trying to figure out who you are, like what your identity is, and like so anything that you can like grab onto that give you that worth or make you feel something, like you'll grab onto. Because my mom and dad never showed me something like that. They chose drugs or chose whatever over me. I immediately tried to find like something that I could find my identity in, and it was sports, it was girls, it was, you know, pornography, it was you name it. I was trying to get into that just because I just wanted to feel something. I wanted to have something in my life, and it wasn't until, you know, Ashley kept on texting me about coming to, you know, church camp, saying, "Hey, you want to come out and you know, help out with junior high camp, whatever it is." And, but yeah, that's when I kind of really started to figure out, like, okay, my life doesn't have to be this way. And I kind of like changed my view on what my identity should be in and stuff like that. So, hope that makes sense.
Good.
You go ahead.
I'll go. I'm pretty loud, so I don't think I can stand up. But
Okay.
Stand up, please.
Some of the hardest parts of being a teenager for you in the culture. I think, like, okay, so I'm a junior, and I'm in the high school, like, across the street, and I think growing up in the ministry and, like, having a relationship with God has been obviously one of the biggest blessings I've had, like, being fortunate enough to grow up in the church and, like, getting a head start on my relationship with God. But I also know that it is going to be, like, one of the hardest, it's been one of the hardest things I've had to do going into, like, the high school, and people already have their minds up, made up about, like, our church and, like, kind of, like, the cult things, and, like, it's hard because that's been floating around for, like, years in our schools, and, like, going in there, and I know people already think about it like that, and I'm supposed to be set apart and, like, keep inviting people in, showing them something different, but that's really hard whenever you're going in somewhere where it already feels like people have their mind made up about you or about, like, the people you're closest with, and, like, I think, like, so that's just, I think some of the hardest things are just, like, I can feel really lonely, like, a lot of the time, and I don't think, like, I think I do a pretty good job at, like, masking that a lot of the time, and I don't think it's because, like, I don't like to talk about how I feel, and it can be very hard to go out, like, as a teen and as a disciple into a place that not only, like, has their mind made up about our church, but, like, has their mind made up about Christians as a whole and, like, what a disciple is, and, like, there's a very bad rep for a lot of, Christians, and, like, as a teen, like, you're always looking to find somewhere to fit in, and, like, you want to have friends, and you want to get along with people, and, like, my worst nightmare is, like, going to school and everyone, like, hating me, and so, like, that's, like, whenever you go there, and I know that's not the case, because I have my friends, but, like, it can be really hard going into somewhere and feeling like everyone, like, you just feel really lonely, and I think that's something that a lot of teens struggle with, and am I supposed to tell you what,
no,
I got help?
That was
no,
good.
Actually, I was, that may not be a bad thing, because I was going to ask, like, can the next question is, like, how has the teen ministry helped you in difficult times? You can think of a specific time or just, like, a general, you know, thing, and how has it been beneficial to your relationship with God? So it could be directly what you, you know, talked about or something different, but if you want to answer it for that, then that works too, so.
Okay, so the teen ministry has helped me because I think I find a lot of, like, solid friendships in within, like, our church and within our, and obviously I know, like, my friends aren't perfect and the girls in our ministry aren't perfect, but I know that I have people that I can, like, I know will always be there. Like I said, I grew up in the church, and you see a lot of people, like, come and go in the ministries and things, and it's, like, it's just, it's good, and it's, like, bittersweet, because you get to see people who, like Jenna, she's been my leader since I came into the ministry. She's also my aunt, so props to her for doing all that, but it's just been, like this relationship that I've had my whole life, she's always been there for me, and now I get to have her as a leader, and seeing Alyssa come up and, like, the team ministry has shown me something different, because people like Alyssa and Jenna, who, like, stick it out and, like, they want to be there for me, and, like, they know my struggles, and they know the things that, like, I'm not perfect at all, I'm very far from perfect, and they've always been there for me, and I find some of my best friendships in there whenever I, like, choose to be vulnerable and open, and, like, my parents, like, they teach me, they've taught me since I was young to be open about the things I struggle with, and that, like, I'm not supposed to be perfect, and none of us are, as it's going to be very, it's very hard to be even close to perfect, and so I think, like, in the teen ministry, yeah, it's just really beneficial to me, I get those relationships that I wouldn't find in the schools. You don't see the relationship you have at school and the friendships, they're very shallow. Like, you make friends in the school year, and then you get to summer, and you probably don't talk to them the entire, like, summertime, and you go back to school, and, like, your friends, and it feels like you pick up where you started. But whenever you graduate high school, like, you don't have any of those friendships, because everyone's going off their own ways. But, like, I know that in the ministry, I have people that, like, are going to be steady throughout my whole life, like, that I get to have and, like, see, they get to see me grow, and I get to see our relationship grow because God gave me those people in our ministry.
Mm. Thanks, Ben.
That's
weird. Sorry.
Anyway, I think for me, like, I just remember a specific time, like, when I was in high school, I was just going through, like, a really, really dark time. I think I'd been, like, a Christian for maybe, like, 8 months at this point. I had just moved schools. I just had, like, a really, like, the only father figure I really had passed away in my family. And I just, like, have always struggled just feeling like I was, like, crazy. And I still feel that way sometimes. But I think, like, for me, like, I remember sitting at a Texas Roadhouse with Jenna. And, like, for the first time, like, someone was like, you're not crazy. Like, you know, like, God doesn't promise for things to be perfect. But he's also close to the brokenhearted. Like, and hearing that for the first time and not being, like, thrown into therapy or, like, saying, like, something was wrong with me or, like, I needed to be fixed. And Jenna also, like, met me with a lot of vulnerability, and, like, I just feel like a lot of times, like, people look at teenagers or, like, whatever, and they're just, like, my problems are too big for you, like, you know, you're not gonna be able to handle it, but, like, she never held back with, like, things that she struggled with or, like, hurt that she had gone through and opened up to me about a lot of different things. And I think that even just throughout, like, my time in youth ministry, like, that was a consistent thing. For the first time, like, people were not enabling me, but also showing me that, like, okay, like, you're not crazy, and this is what God's word has to say. Like, I'm going to give you this stability. I'm going to stick through it with you. I'm not going to let you fall through the cracks. And I think that was, like, the biggest thing for me that, like, helped me through those times. And, like, even now, like, when things are, like, really, really sucky or, like, can I say that? Or, like, when things are really rough or, like, whatever, like, it is at the back of my mind, I'm just like, no, like, life doesn't stop wiping. Like, things are going to continue to happen. But, like, here's what God's word has to say. Here's, you know, God's family is here to be here with you. Like, these are the things that we're going to do to help you. Like, here's how you're going to help, like, get through this and then help people who are going through the same thing. And I feel like, I don't know if I answered this question, but yeah.
So, I think I was, for myself, was going through a hard time whenever I was getting brought around, and I was going through, like, a breakup at the point, you know, it's a high school relationship, but to me, it was basically my whole thing at the time, but it kind of put me in this, like, depressive state, I guess you could call it, and I don't know, I had a friend at the time who was into drugs and alcohol at the time, pretty bigly, and he would ask me, like, periodically if I would want to try maybe smoke weed with him or drink with him, and around that time, I was basically willing to try anything. If he was to ask me to smoke or drink with him, I would have. I genuinely think I would have if I wasn't invited to a cross chat. When I went to that cross chat, I just saw the love that these people had for each other, the love of God, and I felt the void was, like, there was a void in my heart, and it was something I was kind of longing for, just for that to be filled up. To be able to have people to love me for who I was, for just to feel accepted and loved. You know, you got Jen and Evan over here sitting in the corner. You guys have been there so much. Through every trouble I've been through, I knew I was able to go to you guys. To be able to have such amazing leaders, to be able to just stick through with me, the troubled kid. Malachi is literally one of my best friends. I could talk to you about anything, literally anything, and you would be there for me. And I am so incredibly grateful for that. And that goes for everyone else in the youth ministry. You guys have, even if I don't know you all well, you have played a part. Because for me to not even maybe talk to you a little bit, it basically strives in my heart to be able to continue to reach out to the people that I don't know. And the youth ministry has given me the ability to be able to reach out to people and to be able to save the lost, the mission that God wants for me and everyone else here. And that's kind of, it's been very beneficial.
Love you, buddy. Good job.
So, yeah, how is the ministry like?
not only was I reached in youth ministry, which was, you know, super awesome, it was a super different lifestyle from what I was used to, and it gave me, you know, gave me purpose, gave me a lot of things. Like, I remember specifically, like, after junior high camp, it was supposed to be just for a week, and I'm going to stay out there. Just like, hey, stay for another week, or stay for the summer. How about the school year? And I ended up saying, I never went back home. Like I mentioned, those are the worst times of my life. Like, I felt like so, like, worthless, so lost, and like felt like I didn't have anything. I just really longed for like a family, like a father figure. Like, I just longed for those things so badly. And not only did I get like a father figure, you know, from God, like RJ and Ashley, like, they, like I said, for a whole year, even longer than that, they let me stay there rent free. And they sacrificed so much money, time, and effort in me, just to make sure I had, you know, what I needed. And without the youth ministry, I don't think I'd be. I know I wouldn't be here. And if I had to leave you guys with anything, like, if you've been blessed, like, by these leaders, like, they've been pouring into you and like giving you things, but like, make sure you're able to give that back. Like, because RJ, you know, poured into me, and I got to see what a father looks like. My wife's pregnant. I can break cycles now. I can show them something different than what my dad showed me. So they tell me a lot. There's a lot more than that, but I can talk all day. But not.
Thanks, Drew.
Thank you, Drew. And
I just want to, you know, we're going to wrap up, like, this session, but I do think, like, the cool thing is, like, why youth ministry? Like, you know, I hope you got, a little bit of a peek into that. And even, like, looking up, you know, here, like, some of you don't know, but, like, Alyssa and Drew are actually some of our newest youth leaders. Like, they went through the campus ministry, they came back, you know, around, and now they're getting to, like, pour back in. It's one of the coolest things, you know, to sit in a, you know, meeting with them or in this setting. You know, you got Hattie over here and Austin. You know, Austin's gone to the campus ministry. You know, I think that God really is going to use Austin in incredible ways.
Yep.
And Hattie's okay, I guess. You know, no. Hattie is honestly one, like, the life, honestly, of the party and the youth ministry. She brings a lot of joy, but she brings a lot of, you know, truth and balance in different ways to our youth ministry.
Yeah.
And is of great benefit. So why youth ministry? It's all around you in this room, you know, and it's all around you in this world.